Welcome to the inaugural episode of Prior to the Snap, powered by Drama Llama Labs. We couldn't be happier to have everybody out there with us here today. Thank you so much for downloading, streaming, listening to us. It means the world, folks. You know, I think what's most important is that we set the tone in this first episode for what we want to accomplish and then dive deep into the world of sports. First, I want to talk just a little bit about what we are. We are Drama Llama Labs. Drama Llama Labs is our family network created of podcasts. We have two podcasts right now in the network. Of course, Prior to the Snap that you're listening to, our sports podcast, and Distracted Discussions. Distracted Discussions is extraordinarily special. I will tell you that it is rated R just because of course language, you know, just different topics. But Distracted Discussions is myself, a barely Gen Xer, the amazing Cassie, an elder millennial, and it's us having conversations about so many different things that have happened throughout the course of our lifetime. We cover topics like politics, history, current events. We get distracted along the way. I mean, it just goes above and beyond all of that. We have a blast, and we hope that you'll join us on that journey as well. So Distracted Discussions, part of the Drama Llama Labs network. While we're talking about llamas, I would be remiss if I did not talk about our flagship sponsor, one of our favorites, Sugar Llamas Westmore. That's right, Sugar Llamas Westmore is an absolutely just amazing restaurant. I like to call them a sweet shop. Folks, they have everything from mini donuts, they do drizzles on them, I mean like cinnamon sugar, powdered sugar, chocolate drizzle, peanut butter. They have ice cream, and who doesn't love some nice ice cream, right? Even though it's winter, there's times ice cream is amazing. They got coffee, cappuccinos. They make a caramel macchiato that I'm going to tell you right now rivals any place I've ever been. Delicious. They also have amazing sausage rolls, cheese or jalapeno. Get out there, check out Sugar Llamas in Westmore. Now, I tell you, I gotta bring in our amazing co-host. She is the best. Cassie has got such just sports knowledge. You know, she's so knowledgeable. She's got her favorite teams. She keeps up so well with what's going on in the world of sports. And if there's anybody I know that makes a fire hot take, it's her. Let me bring in the amazing Cassie Stevens.
Hello.
There she is. Hey, Cassie. It's good to have you with us here today.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. So tell me, how excited are you about Drama Llama Labs, this whole podcast network that we have, the two podcasts that we've got going? I just want to hear from you. I just, what does all this mean to you?
I honestly feel like the part I'm the most excited about is for Distracted Discussions, just because I feel like that is such a Gen X, elder millennial, even mid-range millennial, I feel like. Thing just because we're all just kind of all over the place and nobody wants to admit it sometimes. You know, the discussion can go from government to history to politics to religion to what's going on every day. I think it's just going to be a smattering of a little bit of everything. So I'm super excited to start that. The sports, obviously, that's, you know, anybody who knows us knows that that's a conversation that happens in this house on a daily basis, more than daily, multiple times a day. So really just excited to see where this takes us and our family.
Yeah, this is quite the journey. And I think I should also make mention, of course, that this particular podcast, Prior to the Snap, is not just available on your streaming platforms. This is the podcast that will also be on the radio. As you guys know, I currently do a sports show, so this is going to be an extension of that. Of course, there'll be more information as we go. I'm kind of being a little bit vague on purpose. You got to be following us on Facebook, on all of our different pages. So Prior to the Snap is P-R-Y-O-R to the Snap, okay? Make sure you follow Prior to the Snap. Make sure you follow Distracted Discussions. And make sure you follow Drama Llama Labs. Each one of those, of course, is on Facebook. While you're there, type in Sugar Llamas Westmore, okay? M-O-O-R-E. Make sure you follow all of those on Facebook. It is so important to us. Now that we've explained who we are, what it is we're doing, why all of it matters, I think there's so many different topics in the world of sports, folks. Today is January 13th. It's a Saturday. It is freezing cold all across America. So much going on. You know, this has been a week packed up with change in the sports world. We have so much we can talk about. It's almost difficult for me to pick a certain topic right now. So, but I'm going to just shoot off a few of the things that we know of that have happened. Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, the Patriots organization, obviously, they found their way to a mutual agreement to kind of part ways. I got to say, I thought it was really interesting. I've always called Bill Belichick like a Sith Lord. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he wears the hoodie. He's kind of dark and you just don't know what's going to come from him. You know, he's known in a press conference to be very vague, kind of a jerk, if you will. And so, it's kind of weird to think that a character like him is going to be going away. Not just him. Pete Carroll announced that he is calling it done with the Seahawks. Just kind of a mutual parting of ways. Now, he will be staying on as a consultant. So we're still going to see Pete Carroll. I guess we won't see him as much, more than likely. But Pete Carroll will still have something to do with what's going on. The next guy I'm going to talk about is in the exact same situation. Nick Saban announced his retirement the other day. Just that really set the sports world on fire because what a powerhouse, you know. Love him or hate him, everybody knows about Alabama. Everybody knows that Alabama is known for churning out champions. And so hearing that Nick Saban had decided to hang it up, I think really put us back on our heels. Again, for a lot of people, you know, they were excited and it set us on just really let everybody start guessing who's going to be the next coach, you know, who's going to be that guy. And we have that guy now, of course, which we'll get to that. But so many different stories. And again, that's just this week. Heck, that's taken the weather out of things. There's games that have been canceled on CBS because they were too cold, which if you are basically any place but California or Florida, you are probably freezing right now. So you know all about it, and I'm trying to get, yeah, it's the Steelers-Bills game that it was decided to be canceled. From what I understand, the governor actually stepped in and helped to make that decision. I believe that game is going to be scheduled now for Monday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. So I'm, excuse me, very interested. The governor was in communication with Roger Goodell and said essentially that it was just dangerous conditions in Buffalo. So probably best for everybody. I know Kansas City is playing a game, I believe right now, in also just crazy conditions out there, with that game being against the Dolphins, who we had to wonder, you know, can a bunch of guys from Florida play in games in these like sub-zero wind chills? It's currently 10-7 with the Chiefs ahead second quarter with 12:20 left before halftime. So I know I've rattled off a lot of information. I've talked about several different stories that have broken this week, and I know there's even more to go through. Let me kick it over to you, Cassie. What out of what I've said or haven't said are you interested in us kicking off right now?
That's kind of hard. It's been a busy week this week. I feel like the biggest thing that has got me twisted this week would be the choice at Alabama.
Really? Really? You're really surprised at that?
That blew my mind. Absolutely out of left field. I would never have made that pick. But that's just me personally.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to have to expound upon that. So, Kalen DeBoer is the coach at Alabama. He is the one that's been chosen to take the reins. What a tough act to follow, you know? I would never
want to be that guy.
There's no
Absolutely
way.
Absolutely not.
There's no way. You know, and Alabama fans are fickle. It's an expectation.
So my exact concern is, are we going to see the ruination of Alabama? Are we going to see Alabama fall?
Oh, my word.
Is that what's going to happen?
You know, you have to wonder. So, obviously, Alabama is probably not going to get a championship out of the gate.
No.
Especially in the SEC where parity reigns. I mean, you got Georgia right there. Lane Kiffin has put together one of the absolute best recruiting classes that I've seen in years. As we look ahead for this season, I mean, there's just, you have Texas, you have Oklahoma. I mean, there's parity everywhere throughout the league. So you have to wonder with, I mean, that's going to be a really tough hill to climb. Also, as recruiting goes, you know, Kalen's going to be out there. Kalen. He's going to be out there trying to get his name, his brand, all of that out there. And really, he has to get the kids, and I hate to use a buzzword, but he's going to have to get kids to buy into his dream, to his mission, to what he believes that he can do. And, you know, he's kind of a virtual unknown to them, beside the fact that while he was at the dance, they didn't win in the dance. And they came from the Pac-12, a conference that, of course, was falling apart. I'm going to say it right now with the hands of Kolevikoff, their commissioner, but a conference that was already known they were falling apart. Washington was headed to, what, the Big Ten?
Yeah.
You know, so many different changes.
Was it Oregon?
Did Oregon commit? I think Oregon did. I was going to say, no. Oregon's definitely not going to the Big 12. The two teams that are left that were granted ownership of the Pac-12, I thought Oregon State was staying, and I can't remember. For some reason, is it Cal that's staying?
It was Cal.
Okay, for some reason, I thought it was Washington that was going to be staying. I'm going to check that. We have an engineer here who would normally be checking these kind of things, but he is noshing down. That's going to be Riley. So he's eating, so he can't check right now.
I think I just wanted, like, one of my biggest things on this is the fact that I have some major concerns of style of ball that he's going to be bringing to Alabama, and will that style work at Alabama?
Well, now,
not just Alabama, in the SEC in its entirety.
Now, you say that, but here's my thing is, you know, you say, will the style work? What makes you believe that he's going to bring the same style that he had with the Pac-12 to the SEC?
Because that's what he was using and it worked. And it got him where, like you said, it got him to the dance.
You're right.
Just don't know, Alabama fans aren't going to put up with that. They're not going to put up with anything but a natty every single year. My hope, and here's my hot take for the night, my hope is that we watch Alabama fall and burn.
Why?
That is my hope.
Why?
It's just time. Just like watching the Patriots fail. It's the same thing. I just like to see them burn and fall. I know every Alabama fan out there is having a meltdown. But it's time for Alabama to know what it feels like to be a Nebraska fan.
Oh, my word. You know, now, I don't wish that on Alabama by any stretch myself. Just because, again, I love seeing a league with parity. You know, you got to love it. Because you bring up Nebraska. I don't want to completely switch gears. But I feel like Nebraska is a shining example of what happens when a league lacks parity. The Big Ten West has been it's been a cesspool, guys. I'm sorry.
Absolute
train wreck. It has been a cesspool of, I mean, Iowa, who at this point, I think they're just proud that they make punts. And what a sad situation to be the head coach and have to really face having to let go of your son. I mean, what a bad deal. But I digress. I feel like, you know, that's a league that doesn't have parity. You know, I mean, you have teams, some teams are decent, other teams not, but at the same time they flounder so bad, you know. Now, of course, that's not going to be the case next year because I think they're going to more of a pod, or not next year, next season rather. It's going to be this 2024 year, but I think they're going to more of a pod style, much like the SEC is. So we're going to see a lot of different teams. I mean, we're going to see USC. My word, we're going to see USC in the Big Ten.
And UCLA.
I do believe UCLA as well.
UCLA.
Yes. Yes, it's going to be
really
jumping.
It's crazy to see how the Big Ten turns next year.
Well, you know, it is. And after watching Michigan, which that's a whole other story. I didn't even bring up Harbaugh in the start and the question of what's going to happen to Harbaugh. But, you know, you have to wonder. So I know that Michigan plays Texas next year. It's just a scheduled non-con game. It'll be really interesting to see what next season's Michigan looks like against a Texas, how Michigan plays against a USC, how Michigan plays against an UCLA, you know, just all of that. It's just going to be really interesting because that's a league that's needed more parity, you know, and here they are. They're getting it in a big way.
I think this is all just leading us to what we've always said is mega conferences. That's all it's going to lead to. And it has to happen.
It's really interesting because we've had that conversation for years, for years. I feel like we've been on the forefront of that even before it happened. You know, we've been discussing mega conferences just because the writing was kind of on the wall, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like, you know, we were talking about this the other night. When you have teams like BYU a few years ago that were unbelievable, and then you had, Boise State, right? Boise State?
Way back,
years ago. But those teams never get a chance because of where they're located. I think the building of those mega conferences will open up the opportunity for some of those teams that don't get the chance to go. And I think that even, watching the national championship game this year and watching and really paying attention, I hate to be the person that's saying, but Texas should have been there. 100% Texas should have been there. That game was one of the more sad games I've watched in a while.
Did it remind you of TCU last year getting trounced by Georgia?
Yeah. It was a familiar sight, and I guess that's kind of part of the thing with my concern with doing the mega conferences would be, but you would get the best of each conference.
Right. So here's my thing about mega conferences as I watch this play out. And I know I feel like we're being a distracted discussion right now because we keep jumping topics and it's great. I absolutely love it. But, real quick, as I'm being distracted, I see that our engineer, Riley, is keeping up with these playoff games. And since you guys are going to hear this later, I guess you'll already know what the scores are, but it's nice for us. Still 7-13 out there I think I said it was 7-10 earlier. So it's 7-13 now, Chiefs on top. Really interesting because the Dolphins, these guys down there in Florida, I wondered if Tyreek Hill was going to be a popsicle, man. He's going to go back to catch a pass from Tua Tagovailoa, and he's just going to freeze in like midair. So really interested to see how all that plays out. But, again, at least they got 7 on the board. They're doing their thing. Obviously, we're not watching live because we're on here doing this. Now, as far as the conversation about conference realignment, here's my thing. So you brought up a team like Boise, or now BYU has a home, right? BYU is in the Big 12 now. But let's talk about teams like Boise. Let's talk about conferences like the Sun Belt and the WAC and the MAC. And, you know, I love to pick on them, but I love to pick on the Arkansas State Red Wolves, you know, just because they're obviously right to the east, right? Straight to the east. We're here in Oklahoma. So what happens to teams like them? They're in the Sun Belt Conference. You know, they got beat by Oklahoma, 81-0 this year. My question is, you know, when you're looking at the Boise States, teams like that, you know, again, WAC, MAC, these other conferences, you know, Conference USA, how do those teams not become a feeder, if you will? And I say that in the sense of, are they going to get 5-star talent? You know, can they offer up NIL deals that are going to be attractive to 5-star talent?
I think what you do in a situation like this, and we've discussed this before, was treating it like soccer. You only get so many seasons, and if you start to, like, I hate to pick on my own team, but Nebraska. Scott Frost, Nebraska would not, in my personal opinion on how I would build this program or this setup, is that Scott Frost, Nebraska would not get to be there. They would not get to be in the Division I or break it down, whatever division you chose. It would be, you know, if you show that you can play well in the second round, you come to the first round, and every year you could potentially lose your spot there. I mean, the NIL is already there. The scholarships are already being given. The best players are going to go to the best schools.
Right. And so here's my thing, though. As long as the NCAA is in control, it's always going to be about what's fair, what's just, what's right. And my question...
The NCAA is already on its way out.
And so that brings us to another point in this.
The networks
have so Absolutely. Much money.
Absolutely.
So are we then going to say that we're coming to a point where college football, we're going to see kids with an ABC logo or an ESPN logo on their jersey.
Yeah, I think it's that. And I think you're going to have to start looking at college football as more as professional football, because it's going to have to separate from the NCAA. And like we discussed, you know, a few weeks ago, we discussed the whole process and idea that, you know, like girls softball, if you go to SDSU or you go to, and I'm using California teams because that's where I'm from, but, or USC, that's going to be the perfect example. And you go to play softball there because, you know, mom and dad can come and watch me there. And my friends can come and see me play because I'm playing teams in my area. And then I switch over to the Big Ten because we're following that because that's what the football team wants. Then my parents aren't going to get to see me play as many games. So I think that plays into what you were just saying as well with that. And it creates its own division. And I don't know that you can have, like, you know, USC, for example, is Pac-12 softball and Big Ten football. I mean, if it's a possibility, then I don't see why they couldn't do that. And maybe that would help out as well with the mega conference.
Yeah, and I want to say it was Lane Kiffin that brought that up at SEC Media Days early this year, that exact statement that you made right there. Lane Kiffin was kind of a prophet on that. He was very upset about that, very passionate, that exact concern. You know, how many kids' families can legitimately afford to pack up and travel? Is Rutgers in the Big Ten? I believe they are.
I don't know.
I want to say they are. We're going to take a look at that. I feel like Rutgers is in the Big Ten. I mentioned that because how far is that? I mean, if you're at USC, you're in the Big Ten, you're going to go from California all the way out to Rutgers University? What a haul. I mean, how many families can afford to just take off
Rutgers
work?
Rutgers is Big Ten.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. And that popped into my head. I was, as I was saying that, I thought, wow.
I mean, even that, out to Ohio State.
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And, you know, I think the other thing to take into consideration in situations like that, pulling teams from different areas and slamming them into different divisions, I think you have to think about the idea that those players are not accustomed to playing in that type of weather.
Oh, sure.
You know, that's sure. What you're not going to see girls soft, you know, it doesn't make sense. Those moving of teams into different divisions, I don't understand the thought process there. I mean, I get the idea of playing potentially better rivals to make your way to the Natty.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense for some of the other sports teams there at the schools. I think we're forgetting that it's still at the end moment, at the end of the day, it is about your education.
Yes. Yes. It's not about the game. I want to, just a little side note here. I'm looking at a picture of Andy Reid's mustache is actively frozen on his face. Actively frozen.
Oh, hey, isn't he talking about retiring too?
So there's been rumors.
I heard that the
there's
other day.
Been rumors about Andy Reid. And at this point, I don't think any of us should be like, you know, blow me over with a feather or anything, because the old guard is really starting to change.
I was just going to ask you that, is how do you feel seeing all these coaches that are getting up in years and starting to retire? Like, how do you think that's going to go?
You know, for someone like Pete Carroll, who has been around for a long time, I think he's in his 70s, you know.
72 years old.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for him, you know, he's got a family, and this is that. He gave a very eloquent speech about that. I wish I was in a position where we could play you guys an excerpt. That's something that we're going to be able to do future, and I look really forward to be able to throw that stuff in. But I would suggest that you hit up the YouTube, something like that, and take a listen to it. But, you know, for that, it was a surprise, obviously, but at the same time, it makes sense because of age. With college, you know, somebody like Nick Saban making the choice to retire, and heck, with Bill Belichick, obviously, that writing was on the wall. We'll come back to that because there's a peanut butter jelly reference there. But with Nick Saban, you know...
Does that change the game?
Him retiring?
Yeah. These older guards, does that change the game? So, I mean... You know, we brought up the other night and you about had a meltdown with me, but was talking about Cadillac Williams.
Mm.
Everybody loves Cadillac. You can't help but not love the guy. And then him getting...
For the uninitiated, I'm sorry to interrupt you. For the uninitiated, can you tell the people who he is, where he's from, what he does, and why he's important?
Okay. So Cadillac Williams was the assistant head coach at Auburn, and he was the interim head coach before Hugh Freeze was hired on.
And the running back coach, yes.
Yes. So the other night, when he was there, he led the guys as interim, what was it, to two, 3 wins?
Yeah, they got a couple of wins. They definitely got a couple of wins. I'm going to have to pull that up just because that kind of escapes me.
And I think the most important thing with Cadillac Williams is wins are obviously what we want, right? But at the end of the day, he's young. His energy is massive. And the guys pulled in around him big time. I think that would have been an amazing hire for Alabama. And I said that to you the other night. And you looked at me like I had grown 3 heads out of my arms. And then funny enough, at about a few hours later, we checked Twitter and Cadillac had quit his job at Auburn.
Yeah. Yes, he had. Real quick, Williams went 2-2 as Auburn's interim head coach in the 2022 season. They had a road loss to Mississippi State. The Auburn Tigers had just an absolutely dramatic 13-10 home win over Texas A&M. They fended off basically a fourth quarter charge from the Aggies. It was storybook. You want to talk about emotional.
Yeah. That's like what you see in a movie. You watch the team's falling apart and everything's going wrong and this person comes in. What's that movie? The Replacements.
Yeah.
You know, it's just this beautiful story. And I really would like to see it. That's why I brought up coaches retiring. And does it change the game? Because do we get to see the opportunity of coaches like Cadillac as head coaches? Is it time that we see more young coaches?
So I think, yes, it is time we see more young coaches. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury is a younger guy. But I want to say this, as far as Cadillac Williams goes, I think he still needs a few more ice cream seasons on him. And that's not to say, obviously, that he doesn't deserve to have an opportunity to coach somewhere. I just feel like this last year, he's worked under Hugh Freeze. And Hugh Freeze, man, when they brought Hugh Freeze in, I was shocked. When you talk about an emotional win, I remember getting emotional watching it on television. Cadillac Williams was so poignant, so eloquent, so eloquent. He was emotional. You could feel the passion through the TV.
The buy-in.
Yes, I mean, my word, I was ready to scream War Eagle. And Lord knows, I am not an Auburn fan by any stretch. But I was so fired up for him, for them. And that's what you want to have in your locker room, right? You want to have a coach that can literally electrify those kids and get them, like you said, the buy-in. It's such a buzzword. We use it so loosely in sports, but the buy-in means everything. It means it all. If those kids do not believe in that coach, if they don't want to go to war, if they don't want to battle for that coach, you got yourself a disaster on your hands. You just take a look at the Raiders right now and where they're at with their interim head coach. You got people that are ready to walk away and quit if they don't retain the coach. So I think that's extremely important. Antonio Pierce, it's such a saga. But,
If I remember correctly, we also said, and we've gone off on a total...
I know.
...distraction, McAction. But back to younger coaches, do you think we're going to start to see a whole bunch of coaches start retire within the next few years?
Here's my thing.
How much does that, my brain just stopped. Nick Saban, right? He said he wasn't going to play in the portal. He wouldn't believe in that. He didn't believe in any of that. You should just want to come to Alabama to play at Alabama.
So
are we going to have more older head coaches do the same thing?
I think, so obviously there's NIL at Alabama. He played into that some. Obviously there's good deals to be had at Alabama because of who Alabama is. That said, I think we have to address as football fans. I want to say to any person listening, those of you, not per se the casual fan, though it affects you, but the longtime fan, the person who has jerseys hung up, the person that can right now talk to me about coaches and players that were iconic at their program, people that can tell me all about the stadium, those are people I'm talking to right now. This is a very difficult thing for me to say. Tradition is dying. Tradition is literally dying before our eyes. There's a mausoleum being erected to it, and we have to accept it. What do I mean by that? You know, when you think about it at base, right? Back in the day, kids were so proud. Look at the movie Rudy. The movie Rudy's a great example. You know, wants to play for Notre Dame. Ready to wear the gold, you know, just the gold and just it means so much. Today, that's not to say that there's not a kid out there who would love to play at X school, especially if they're a legacy. But depending on their skill level, depending on if they're a four-star or a five-star recruit, they're going to wonder what the NIL deal is there that they can get. Because if they can get a better deal someplace else, that could be life-changing money for themselves, for their family, etc. And so while that kid may think, man, Notre Dame would mean everything to me to go there, if Ohio State can offer me, you know, $700,000 and Notre Dame is offering me $200,000, let me ask you a question, Cassie. If you made, let's say you made $200,000 a year at your job today and someone offered you $700,000, you know, would you take it?
That would be really hard for me, especially at my job because I love my team. Can I take my whole team with me?
Okay, that then I guess I...
No, I get what you're saying, though. I 100% get what you're saying, just because of the fact of the money involved. But, you know, I think that's going to depend on the kid, 100%. Because with Dylan Raiola,
yeah,
he is only going to Nebraska because his dad went to Nebraska.
True.
He's a legacy kid. You're still going to have your legacy kids. I mean, that's still going to happen.
He was committed to Georgia before, though. It didn't matter.
No, it didn't matter. And then it did matter. So, I mean, I get what you're saying about tradition is gone, which I hate to hear because there's so much of that. Well, there was so much of that, but I'd have to agree with you on that.
Well, and look, there is still tradition. I'll use my Texas Longhorns, for example. Big Bertha is a massive drum, you know, that gets beat a million times, or the cannon, or, you know, all those things are going to continue to be in existence, you know. But I just, as far as the kids go, the human element that, what's the word? That longevity that you're used to seeing, you know, those kids that are ready to come back to the program constantly and consistently, you know, that's going to be different. And that's the part that I think that we have to learn how to accept. We have to figure out how we're going to be able to leverage that with our love for our team. I've talked to several people who have said, I just don't want to watch anymore, you know, because at the end of the season, it's bowl game time. And between opt-outs and people that have hopped into the transfer portal, you know, they just feel like their team has turned over completely and they don't, you know, now they don't know where they stand.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair statement to make. Because what's the kid? He was at Texas. Then he was at Nebraska. Then he was at FAU.
Casey Thompson.
Casey. So now Casey Thompson is going to OU.
Oklahoma.
Old Ohu.
Yes.
I think he's the perfect example of that. You know, just bounce, 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 grab that money.
He has family ties here. He has family here. So I can kind of see he's on a seventh year of eligibility. So he's like a 42-year-old quarterback. You know,
getting the 401k.
Yeah. Got himself an apartment, a 401k, two kids, you know, just kind of hanging out, playing a little college football. I think
there's another kid doing that right now though, too.
Yeah. That's, up in Utah.
Name ends in a Y.
I almost said Bo Nix, but Cam Rising is doing that on his umpteenth year of eligibility. And I'm sure there's somebody, the kid from OSU, Alan Bowman, just got himself another year of eligibility. I mean, these guys are running around everywhere. The COVID years have a lot to do with that, too. Everybody got granted 2 free years of eligibility because of COVID. So you ended up with a lot of kids that were older, you know, that kind of were able to drag around the league, which isn't the worst thing in the world for a lot of teams because these kids have so many ice cream seasons on them. You know, they've been around. You know, they've seen so much, they've played so much, and so they're seasoned vets. So that's been a real blessing for a lot of folks. excuse me, for a lot of these kids. So really special, really special. But this is great conversation. Let me stop and let me remind you guys about our, of course, signature sponsor, Sugar Llamas Westmore. You got to get out there, out to Sugar Llamas Westmore. They have a little bit of everything. Oh my gosh. They have some of the best mini donuts. They drizzle a little bit of everything on top. They have amazing coffee. Ice cream is outstanding. I'm going to keep telling you guys that macchiato, you got to get you some of that cold brew, frappes, lattes. And by the way, they can do all this coffee, whole milk, skim milk, you know, almond milk, oat milk, coconut. It just goes on and on. The sausage rolls are just outstanding. They have amazing Red Bull mixers, drink flavors. It goes on and on. Please get out there and check out Sugar Llamas Westmore. And of course, I'm going to give you guys an address. 12501 Southwestern Avenue in Oklahoma City. It's funny. For those of you that are Oklahoma City residents or you live in the suburbs, you probably think it's weird that I keep saying Westmore because you know Moore is in Oklahoma. Well, some of you guys have more schools, you know, but you live, let's say, in Oklahoma City technically proper. So, you know, just kind of one of those things, but it is still considered Sugar Llamas Westmore. Give them a follow on Facebook. Please support them. We absolutely love them. And while I'm talking about it, this is going to be a little bit off topic, but I want to make sure I put this out there. There's a lot of different things we're going to be doing with this podcast. And one of them is that we are mobile. So we're talking to you right now. Again, I have the best engineer ever. Riley is right here. He's running the boards. He's on the computer. He's doing his thing. But we have invested in equipment that is mobile. So our board is mobile, and we consider Sugar Llamas Westmore our home away from home. That's home to our mobile studio. So there's going to be lots of times where we're going to be set up right there. We're going to be broadcasting the podcast, the radio show, everything from right there at Sugar Llamas Westmore. And one of the things that's going to happen while we're there, I want to tell you guys, so I played football, right? I played arena football. That's the highest level that I made it to. Those were very special times in my life. I absolutely love playing football. I have a heck of a story about it. And that got me thinking just recently in these last couple of weeks. There are so many people who play different sports, not just football. All genders, everybody, you know, that have just played sports. And they have a story. Something that I want to be able to do is be able to highlight those stories, almost like a 30 for 30, the good, the bad, the amazing, the failures. And so we're going to have some different segments where we're going to sit down with somebody out there at our mobile studio, and we're going to talk with them about their journey. And we're going to highlight that as just a very special, just trust me on this, but I'm looking for people. So those of you out there in radio land that are listening, make sure you go to Facebook. Make sure you go to Pryor, P-R-Y-O-R, to the Snap. Shoot me a message if you're interested in being involved. I have some folks that are already lined up. I know my old coach and people that I played with, we're going to be doing a round table, just a discussion about trends and football, what it was like for us. Obviously, we played at a different time. Targeting didn't exist. All of that. So it's just, it's, or may have been, it was 2012 was my last year playing, which I think is the same year as the infamous Kenny Bell hit. And I don't remember if Kenny Bell got called. I know he got a flag. I don't remember if he got flagged for targeting or not, or if it was just a foul. If he, it had to be targeting because they said that the guy was a defenseless receiver, but that was just becoming a thing. And so I'm really, really interested again to just kind of just share that. So please, you know, if that speaks to your soul and the thought of you getting to listen to those stories, like I said, please shoot me a message. We'll be at the Sugar Llama Mobile Studios. So I mentioned peanut butter and jelly earlier because I was talking about Bill Belichick. And, you know, Bill Belichick has left the Patriots. He's been with the Patriots. I mean, I remember when Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback. I mean, I'm spinning the clock way back. But I think there's a peanut butter and jelly element that ended up missing. And Cassie, I want to really get your opinion on this thing. You know, Tom Brady was the peanut butter to Bill Belichick's jelly. I feel like Bill Belichick being a GM as well as head coach And, you know, he made a lot of player moves, some good, some bad. Do you think that the writing was on the wall to everyone, especially the fans out there, after Tom Brady left and the Patriots started having these rough seasons? I mean, this season is rough. Do you think that people started to turn and think that maybe Bill Belichick wasn't the coach that we all thought he was?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
157,000%. I mean, I think it was, you know, I am the worst. I am totally the fan that likes to watch the really good teams dive bomb. That's my favorite. I love that.
What's up with that?
That makes me so happy.
Why?
You know what? I want everybody else's team to suck for as long as my team sucks.
Oh, my word.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Nebraska has been garbage for years. And I just want everybody else to get a little taste of that. You know, humble yourself a little bit.
We're going to talk about... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel like it's super... I understand as a Patriots fan, when you're used to having winning season after winning season, to just bomb like you've been bombing. But obviously, Bill Belichick's not the guy. He just got lucky with an incredible quarterback.
You know, yeah.
Interestingly enough, I was just looking at Optostats on Twitter just recently, and I think I sent you one of them. And it has to do with McCarthy and Tom Brady. Let me see if I can get that real quick.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I want to remind everybody that Jared Mayo was hired to replace Bill Belichick. Now, that obviously, I feel like I have to bring up the Rooney Rule. I know a lot of people were pretty surprised. A black head coach, as you guys may or may not know, of course, the Rooney Rule exists, that in the NFL, you know, that they have to interview, at least interview a black head coach. So seeing another black head coach, really, really interesting. Of course, makes you think about names like Eric Bieniemy out there at Washington. What's going to happen with him now that Ron Rivera's gone? So many different things. So, but again, just want to put that out there. 24 seasons, though, that he was out there. Almost a quarter of a century that Bill Belichick has been the head coach of the Patriots.
So I did find it. And if anybody wants to, if you have a Twitter, and I refuse to call it X because Twitter is my favorite. It's called the Optostats. Since the advent of the Ford Pass, only two quarterbacks, NFL or FBS, have won a title while having five or fewer turnovers for the entire season in 15 or more starts. That was Tom Brady in 2016 and J.J. McCarthy in 2023.
Wow.
Both of which played for the University of Michigan.
Wow. Wow.
Pretty cool stat. We were talking about that earlier, and I was like, that's just crazy. I mean, to think that J.J. McCarthy is pulling that.
What school was Tom Brady a quarterback at? What college?
They just said it.
Oh, you did?
Both of them played for
Michigan. Okay, I didn't hear you say it. I'm sorry for the quiz.
That's why it's so crazy.
Sorry for the quiz that didn't exist.
They both played for Michigan?
Yeah. The quiz that didn't exist. Yeah, no.
I kind of feel bad for Bill Belichick, but it also makes you wonder, did he know that he was just riding Tom Brady's coattails?
Now, I want to be on record as saying, I don't think that Bill Belichick is a bad coach, okay?
Not great, really.
I mean, he would not have been there for 24 seasons if he was horrid at his job. So
yeah, but how many of those 24 seasons was Tom Brady there for?
Oh, my word. Come on now. You know...
I'm just saying, man.
Tom Brady was running into players enough that he was old enough so to be their father at this point. You know, it's just a weird league without Tom Brady, you know? It's kind of strange to get used to not seeing Tom Brady playing football in general. I thought it was going to be weird to see him at the Buccaneers and, you know, him not in a Patriots jersey, but now it's just weird. He's just not there, period.
Yeah. No, he should have done that a few years ago.
Oh, my word. Yeah. So,
look, I'm not trying to dredge up the horrible marriage.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to come off of them because I want you to talk about something. I want to discuss with you. I want to discuss with the people. You brought it up a couple of times, and I think anybody out there can tell that you're a little bit salty when it comes to Nebraska football.
The salt is real.
And so I think that it's worth having a short discussion, especially I feel like a lot of people that are going to be listening right now are here in Oklahoma. And those that are here in Oklahoma that have been football fans for a long time are familiar with the Big Eight. And so those of you that are familiar with the Big Eight, you know, you probably could spin your clock back to Barry Switzer. You could probably spin your clock back to Wishbone Football, you know, a completely different time in football. And so I want to ask that you just kind of give us a brief history of how this happened to Nebraska, because it's not normal for a program to be in the position that Nebraska is. Obviously, Matt Rhule is there. Everybody knows that he's known as a builder of programs, you know, Temple and Baylor, and, you know, things didn't work out for him the best in the NFL, but I think that he worked for an owner and a kind of a dysfunctional group out there, but that's a debate for another day. But just kind of tell us what, you know, about a brief history on Nebraska and then how they got here.
It's so depressing to talk about. It's not one of those things that's like, you know. So I remember watching Nebraska football in the 90s with my brother. My brother had a Nebraska Cornhusker starter jacket that he used to wear all the time. So I grew up watching Nebraska football and USC pretty regularly as a kid. I don't think I cared that much about it back then, though, to be quite honest with you. Nebraska football, I can tell you, so, you know, growing up, I grew up in San Diego, California, and I moved to Nebraska in 2008. I lived in Omaha, and I'd always been told that Nebraska fans were, like, the craziest fans out there. Like, you didn't meet any diehard fan, and they're going to be from Nebraska. So, driving across the state line and getting into Grand Island, and it's, like, thinking about it now is still crazy to me. But I remember looking off to my right, and there was a bright red fence with a white N on it. And I remember thinking, that's nuts. You know, being from San Diego, you don't, people have like Raider stickers and Charger stickers. They have the shirts and their jerseys, but no one would ever paint their house or half their house into something like that. So at the time, Bo Pelini was the coach. I absolutely loved Bo Pelini. I loved his fire. I loved how mad he would get, knock stuff over. I think it's wonderful. That's what I'd love to see. He had some issues with the current AD, not the current AD, the former AD, well, he's current at the time, Sean Eichhorst, and it got into a bit of a tit-for-tat match there in that season, that last season. I want to say it was like 15, maybe? And then Nebraska decided that they were going to fire him after Bo Pelini said some choice words in the locker room, and everybody heard it. We all heard it. It was not lovely.
But, now, let me ask you this. I'm going to interrupt just to ask a question.
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of record was Bo Pelini putting up?
Oh, though? I mean, 9-1 seasons. 9-1 seasons. But, you know, the problem was, or what Sean Eichhorst said the problem was, is that we weren't winning the right games.
The right games.
So Sean Eichhorst comes up on the podium, and he's telling us how he's going to find us, and money is no object, and he's going to get us a winning coach. And Nebraska is going to go back to winning, you know, bowl games. And we're going to do all of the things in all of the best ways. And a few days later, sitting in the living room, and Nebraska states that they're hiring Mike Riley. Every run around me was like, oh, who's Mike Riley? And I was like, man, that name is awful familiar. And then I remembered who Mike Riley was. So, hired Mike Riley, which we all knew was the worst choice they could have made. And the Huskers did worse than okay. And then we all thought the answer was going to be Scott Frost. And then Scott Frost ended up being a terrible drunk that didn't show up and led the Huskers to the worst seasons they've had. And I mean, God, I don't even know how long. The 60s. I don't even know. Not in my lifetime. I haven't seen them this bad. So they recently hired Matt Rhule, but I have a fear with Matt Rhule. I'm going to keep it 100% honest with you. Last season was a good season. It wasn't the best, but there was definitely some shining spots where I was like, wow, especially with the defense. It was the best I've seen Nebraska defense look in a very long time. And even the offense, I mean, obviously when we started off with Jeff Sims or whatever, whatever his name was, it's not great, right? But my concern is if Matt Rhule gets this program together, right, and they have a winning season, how long does it take before Matt Rhule runs?
Well,
does Matt Rhule stay? Does he become, like, you know, does he become a 10-year coach at Nebraska? Or does he get them up where they were and then bail?
The coaching carousel is so, it spins so darn fast, doesn't it?
So depressing.
It spins so quick, you know, and that's kind of one of the big issues, I guess. And we'll have to come back and discuss the portal and how, you know, again, how those two things can so disastrously affect each other. You know, we just talked about Kaden DeBoer going from Washington to Alabama. And what's happening in Washington right now, you know.
Caleb Williams.
Yes.
He was the quarterback at Nebraska. The last day in the transfer portal last year before Matt Rhule would even have a season, right? Was it Caleb Williams?
Casey Thompson.
Casey Thompson. I always get them messed up. I don't know why. Okay. There's something with the C names, I guess. Yeah. The last day of the transfer portal, he bailed. Last day. And Matt Rhule had set his program up for him. And then we ended up with Jeff Sims.
Yeah, you know, with Jeff Sims, you know, you bring him up, and I feel like we have to talk about him. We have to. Because if there's, you know, again, as somebody that has played football, if there is one thing that a coach will drive into the skull of every offensive player on that team, it is ball control. Being in control of the ball, getting your hands on it. Sometimes you may have to treat it like it's got a handle on it, but you have got to be able to control the ball. And I was talking with a couple of amazing folks. I was talking with Bruce Reinhardt, owner of Rococo here in Oklahoma
City. Best food ever in the
amazing food, not better than Sugar Llamas, but amazing food. Maybe Rococo would like to come on as a special sponsor as well, so we can tell you guys more.
As long as there's Flirtinis.
As more of the amazing Flirtinis, yes. We can tell you guys more about their food and who they are. But the reason why I bring them up is because there's a high school here, Deer Creek. Will Reinhardt was the center. And I had this whole discussion about how bad I wanted to have them on. You know, they went to the playoffs. I think they lost to Muskogee in the championship. But I wanted to have Will on because I wanted to talk in depth with him about the relationship between the center and the quarterback and why it matters so much. And I was trying to find the name of the quarterback because it escapes me. I apologize for that, guys. But you have to have such an intimate, personal relationship. If you're in high school, I say you need to be having sleepovers at each other's house. I realize you're older kids. You got to be hanging out together. You guys need to be eating dinner with each other's families. Why does this matter? That relationship has got to be so tight. And the amount of times that there were bad snaps to Jeff Sims or the handoff was bad, I just wondered what was the relationship with his center, you know. Did he know what was coming? Was that a backup center? You know, what was going on? Or was it a case where Jeff Sims just...
It wasn't just that.
What?
It wasn't just that.
Yeah.
He couldn't throw. At all.
He came from Georgia Tech, where I saw some videos
Georgia
of...
Georgia Tech.
I saw some
videos... Georgia Tech. That's all I need to say. My point is with this kid, and I feel bad for him, right? Like, I do, like, as a... Like... As a grown adult, I feel bad for him because that had to feel really crummy because you're being talked about everywhere. But to be quite honest, in the nicest way I possibly can, I have never seen a Division I quarterback struggle the way that Jeff Sims did.
Really?
I can't think of another time I've seen anything like it.
Okay. Well, I was... Yeah, there we go. Good deal. Sorry about that, guys. I got a little bit distracted. I was talking again with the amazing Riley, our engineer. I have to give it up to him again. Just, he does so much from controlling this board. He has the laptop. There's different sound effects that are not playing right now, but he has to load them in. And as we discuss things, I'm watching him. He literally looks up different things to get stats, information. There's so much that goes into engineering. A podcast, heck, a radio station even. Again, like I said, I do I do radio on the radio. And just your producers, your engineers, they don't get enough love for the work they're doing. 7-16 right now. The Chiefs are in the lead, by the way. Again, this isn't live, but it's just interesting to try to watch the progression of this game. I figured this game was going to be a grinder because of that cold. You know, that cold is going to just cut right through you. I have some friends who, I heard tickets were as low as like $30. So I have some friends on Facebook that grouped up, jumped into a van, and they took off to go to Kansas City to buy some of these, or they bought the cheap tickets online and took off to go watch the game. So they are there now.
Way you couldn't pay me.
Oh, could you imagine? You could
not pay me. I would be miserable.
Could you imagine?
I'm just not a cold person. Oh. I would have a meltdown.
Your body, just the things your body would go through. I mean,
nothing about that sounds good.
Oh, I tell you, I hope everybody out there is safe. It's hard to believe. And at this point, I mean, earlier when I looked, it was negative 22. Riley, can you do me a favor? Can you look up the wind chill in Kansas City right now? You know, we all are aware of the ice bowl, all that. And obviously, you know, there isn't like 3 foot of snow on the ground and all of that. But I'm just wondering, how cold is it? So he's going to pull that up for us. Just, again, just my morbid curiosity to what these fans. Negative one is the physical air temperature. Does it show what the wind chill is? Or does it say what the winds are blowing at out there? You see it? You
know, 16 miles per hour.
16 mile an hour winds. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if the wind is blowing at 5. At negative one for the physical air temperature, my word, it is going to be so cold. And for the guys that, you know, if the offense
feel
is
like right now, would you like to guess
The feel like temperature in Kansas City? I'm going to guess that it is. I saw that it was negative 22 earlier.
Negative 26.
Oh, slowly. Like, well, right, I knew the sun had sank.
I had to literally pull up my iPhone and add an area just so I could see what that was. The wind speeds are at 14 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness,
man, that's terrible.
That is tough on the body. So hopefully everybody out there, again, is safe. Kansas City is winning the game, obviously, right now. But, you know, yeah, just what a deal. That is so tough. I remember discussing how the environment can be a part of the game. You know, the rooster chickens or something.
The rooster chickens?
Yeah, well, you know, so 49er fans, when they refer to the Seahawks, they call them like the rooster chickens.
The thunder chickens?
The thunder chickens, something like that, yeah.
I love that.
And I couldn't remember. But I tell you why I bring them up is because, as you guys know, you know, they're home of the 12th man, you know, and they believe that the fans are part of what makes that environment so hostile. You know, what a sound. Sorry about that, folks. And so, you know, that makes the environment hostile. And so, you know, I was thinking about games this year where the environment played a part in the outcome of the game. And I was thinking, you know, I'm going to spin the clock back to Oklahoma, OU, and the game they were playing against BYU. And they were playing in, what is that, Provo? Is that Provo, Utah, where they play? Or is that, where are they going? I'm unsure. yeah, so I remember it was Dylan Gabriel that slipped in that real grass in the rain, wet conditions, and fell. And it's really interesting how, you know, just different environments. And so I wonder how this cold, the snow, icy environment, you know, are there going to be ankles turned, ACLs? Hopefully not, obviously, at this point, but just, whoo, man.
What's it worth?
It's worth a ring.
That's just crazy.
It's worth a ring, you know. It's worth a ring.
I get what you're saying, I do, but at the same time, like, I wonder how full that stadium is.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you. Engineer Riley, if you could do us another favor, if you could just look up, see if you can't find some information on how many people are at that game, how many people have showed up at the Kansas City Dolphins versus the Dolphins game right now.
You know, I remember seeing pictures of the stuff like that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Growing up, where I grew up, And I was like, these people are insane.
Yeah.
I can't.
Fanaticism.
Oh my God, I can't wrap my brain around it.
And, you know, but, you know, they support the team. They support everything. It just, it means so much. Again, fanaticism. Hey, I'll tell anybody, I'm a huge Texas fan. Love me some Steve Sarkisian. You brought up Sean Eichhorst, you know, he's one of our ADs out there, and, you know, it's weird that it's worked out for us with Sean Eichhorst, but not for you guys.
You know what it is? Bo Pelini.
He's a polarizing figure.
Oh my God, 100%. Yeah. But you know what? There's something about, like, one of my issues with Mike Riley, I'm sorry, sidebarred so hard.
Fine. Hey, that's like a hard
left turn, right?
Hot take.
Mike Riley, the game would be going to total pot. And he would just be, big old smile, stand on the sideline, just arms crossed over his chest, just happy to be there.
So you want your coach, like, throwing things.
Yeah, I want to see you flip a table over. Like, let us know that you're upset about it and that you're not okay with
lackluster performance. Is that acceptable today?
To who?
I feel like the world has changed a lot.
Oh, agreed, 100%.
Since we were young.
But to who? Like, I think that would be a generational issue.
What was about
for distracted discussions?
Yes, this would probably bleed over. Absolutely. It's a distracted 100%. Discussions, 100%. But I feel like, example, I'm from Chicago, okay, and I'm not a Bears fan. I'm not even going to call myself a Bears sympathizer, but. Mike Ditka, you know, the team that won the Super Bowl, you know, just the 85 Bears, Walter Payton, the Fridge, all those guys. You know, Mike Ditka was a polarizing figure as well, and he had no problem with telling you where you could go, how you could get there, and everything else. I just wonder, in today's society, and like you said, this is a conversation for distracted discussions that I think we're going to have, you know, I don't know that people are going to find that as acceptable now to have a coach that reacts that way.
Maybe that's the difference between casual fans.
Maybe so. That it could be.
Is that what it is? Because, I mean, I don't know, man.
Shoot us a message.
I want to see somebody with passion, you know? And Scott Frost, it was the same problem with him. And then Matt Rhule and the incessant lip licking.
You know, that's got to be his tick.
Has to be. And he only does it when, like, the stress is on.
Yeah, when the chips are down. Yeah, and look, we're not picking on him. I want to make that clear. We're not picking on Matt Rhule, especially if that's, like, a neurological issue or something. We don't know it. But, you know, it is.
I think it's just when he gets stressed out. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
100%.
I feel for the guy. You know, Matt Rhule was so close this year where they win five games.
Oh, my God, yeah.
How many games did they lose by one score?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh.
But it was every single one of those games. I mean, even the Colorado game. You know, everybody was so hype on the Colorado Dions.
And then
when Nebraska played them, I was nervous. You know, after seeing them play TCU, I was like, oh, my God. Colorado was insane. And then watching them play Nebraska, I was like, well, either Nebraska is just really good this year, and I just had no clue. Or maybe Colorado wasn't as good as we thought.
Colorado was exposed because of the strength of the Pac-12 this year, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pac-12, we've had low expectations for them for a while. But the Pac-12 was better than what we expected. I mean, what, first half of the season, USC... Now, because of Alex Grinch and his defense, in my opinion, you know, they were left having to outscore their opponents, right? They had no choice but to score insane amounts of points to try to fend off, you know, their rivals. You know, but there was just a lot of power. A lot of teams weren't that bad. I mean, Arizona hung in there way more than I think we expected from them. We saw a lot out of the Pac-12 this year, and so I think that they got caught up in the regular season, and it just kind of snatched them down, man. Those first three games, you know, those non-con games can make you look beast mode. And after that, I also think that locker room had division that we weren't aware of.
Yeah, yeah. That's unfortunate. you know, it was interesting because they sold out, Colorado did. Didn't they sell out this whole season plus, like, the next three seasons of their games?
I don't know if they sold out the next three seasons, but they sold out this season.
Yeah, for the first time in years. I think they sold out, like, the next few seasons. I thought I remembered hearing
something about that. They may have. They may have. You know, Dion, here's a conversation we're going to have, and some of you are about to start slamming stuff and cussing and fussing. It's time for hot take. I'm going to give you guys my hot take on the Colorado Deons of Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders was and is, because obviously he's still there. He was the hero we needed that we didn't know we needed. Some of you are like, what does that mean? Deion Sanders is loud, abrasive, polarizing.
He has receipts.
Loves himself. Man, who can forget that first press conference after the TCU win? I kept the receipts. He kept the receipts.
I remember him
sitting down, and as the press conference first started, him looking around, I think he took his glasses off for a second and said, Do you believe? Now, obviously, that all didn't hold sway beyond, you know, but the question of, do you believe? You know, I love to talk about, probably one of my favorite things that you guys are going to learn as this podcast goes on, is hearing me talk about Mike Leach, the Mike Leach coaching tree, and Air Raid, okay? We're not going to get deep into Air Raid or any of that right now. That's going to be for a different episode. But let's talk about Mike Leach, the Pirate. God rest his soul. He is truly missed. What a polarizing figure. Never knew what he was going to say. That guy was just, I mean, he was something else, but we'd love to see it. We love that. We love to see, I think I may have to sneeze. a little radio problem there. Sorry. No, we're good. You don't have to turn the mic down. I appreciate that. I think I got it under control.
Tip for the day, if you feel like you're going to sneeze, say banana instead. You won't sneeze.
Bonanas.
Bonanas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Distracted Discussions would love to discuss the fact that how many of us learn how to spell banana because of Gwen Stefani? B-A-N-A-N-A-S. You know, I will never forget how to spell bananas. Gwen Stefani was instrumental. What a core memory.
The most important statement here is, do you still have to sneeze?
No. Our spelling and saying banana seem to have worked. And I know I was hearing something there from the producer. What's up?
I was going to say, I remember in second grade, I was taking like a vocabulary test and it was how to spell bananas and I had to think of the song so I knew how to spell bananas.
Yes. Yes. See, and it sticks with you. You know, I love it. But look, they call it an earworm, or just a little sidebar here, a mnemonic device, right? It's your mnemonic device. It's something that you can remember. So you guys can hold on to that. The mnemonic device today is hook 'em horns. So, I tell you guys what, though. I think that's a good spot for us to stop. I think we're going to stop right here. And I want to say thank you all once again for giving us the opportunity to be in your ears, be in your car, wherever you guys are listening. Again, there's so many things that we have planned for the show. This show is extremely special to us because I have personally wanted to be able to get my family involved. We have so many amazing discussions here in-house, and we don't get to put them out to everybody. You know, we want to bring you guys in. It means so much to me, especially to know that we're going to be able to go down to take Drama Llama Labs down to the Sugar Llama's mobile studios and have those in-person intimate discussions with you. We have guests lined up. I will tell you guys very quietly that we also have phone lines, okay? So we have the ability to be able to take phone calls. Now, I know, like I said, this is going to be on the radio as well. So you guys are going to be able to text in on the Sugar Llama text line. You guys are going to be able to communicate with us. And we're going to be able to talk. We're going to be able to take information from you. And I look very forward to that. There's going to be some giveaways. A lot of different things are going to be happening, but we just really look forward to you guys being on this journey with us and having these sports discussions. Obviously, we cover a lot of material, and we're just thankful that you're with us. You know, again, I hope that you continue to download. I hope that you guys jump on Distracted Discussions, because as you saw right there, we almost went down the rabbit hole. We almost got distracted. That's how easy it is. So we'll carry that stuff over to Distracted Discussions. But for Cassie, as a matter of fact, Cassie, is there anything that you want to say in party?
Oh, no, just that I'm super excited.
Excellent, excellent. I'm going to kick it over to our producer, Riley. Is there anything that you want to add?
I'm definitely also excited.
I love it. I think it'll be fun. Yeah, I love it. That's what it's all about. Hey, we're fired up. This means a lot to us. So from Cassie, from Riley, from myself, Sean Pryor, we appreciate it. Thanks again for listening to us here at Prior to the Snap.